Why I run.
I really like challenging myself.
Why do you run?
To enjoy myself, to celebrate myself.
The buzz I get from running is like no other sport I've experienced.
Enjoy myself sounds really weird, doesn't it, to an
It's season two of the Why I Run podcast from Red Bull.
I like to challenge myself physically and mentally with parkour, and I think running is giving me the same challenge.
Hello and welcome to Why I Run from Red Bull.
We are the show that asks people why they run. I'm Erin Azar.
And I'm Ayo Akinwolere. And you know what, Erin? The reasons why people love running just keep on coming and won't be stopping, in my opinion, anytime soon.
I know, right? We're only on episode 4 of this series and we've already covered so much. We've heard why running is fuss-free from sailor Jimmy Spithill to how it helps triathlete Lucy Charles Barkley get a buzz like no other.
Yeah, and last week we heard from TikToker Jimmy Jan about how running has helped him through the ups and the downs in life.
They're all such great episodes and have really inspired me to just put on my running shoes and get out there in so many different ways.
Yeah, there's nothing like hearing about someone else's run to make me want to get out and go for a little cheeky run myself. I don't know, I've been thinking about this, right, Erin? Do you think I'm a bit competitive?
I mean, I don't know, maybe a little, but I wouldn't necessarily say you're really competitive. I'd say you're more inspired by all of these, you know, interviews that we've been having. Not so much competitive, you're just inspired.
You know what? This is why we work so well together. You've always got my back, like my constant cheerleader. So if, like me, you are feeling, let's go for inspired to do a run and have half an hour to spare, why don't you get those running shoes on and let me and Erin keep you company?
Yes, I love that. We'll be your company. I promise we won't expect you to talk back. You have to conserve that breath.
Yeah, so true. Whilst we're on the topic, actually, where do you stand with running and conversing? Something in my mind tells me you're a chatter.
You're absolutely right. So much so that I will actually slow my pace, because that's one thing that's not important to me, just so I can talk to somebody and literally hear their life story. I don't even care. I'm here for it. And if nobody's around, I'll talk to my camera, or I'll talk to myself or the cows. There's lots of cows on my route. I say hi, I give them names, I compliment them. So that's me, though. What about you, Ayo?
All about talking to the cows. I love that. Do you know what? Depends what mood you get me in, right? If it's race day, I'm gone. Unless someone's struggling, I'm not really talking to them. If I'm running with like my mate or a friend, like we go trail running or whatever, yeah, man, that's a leisurely run. We can have a bit of a chat. So I guess for us, running and chatting isn't so much of an issue, but for others that might just be starting on their running journey, I can imagine it can be a bit of a challenge. And actually, someone who knows a thing or two about challenges is today's guest, parkourer Hazal Nahir. Initially starting out as an aspiring B-girl, about 8 years ago, Hazal accidentally discovered free running in her hometown of Ankara and has never looked back. As a free runner, Hazal is used to being challenged to do different runs and tricks, so naturally sees a challenge in whatever she puts her mind to, including her newfound hobby of long distance running. Hazal, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the Why I Run podcast. I've been looking forward to this interview. You know, we like to start the podcast with that big question, you know, why do you run? So I ask you, Hazal, why do you run?
I really like challenging myself physically and mentally with parkour. And I think running is giving me the same like emotions and same challenge.
What is it about running that's so challenging for you?
So I'm not really good at long distance running. Mm-hmm. When I want to go for long distance, it's getting so hard for me to control my breath and just find my, you know, rhythm. And this is what I'm working on. Keeping it same pace. This is challenging for me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And looking at your list of accolades and things that you've done, you are definitely someone who loves to challenge themselves. Real talk. I mean, some of the stuff you've done, it's pretty scary. But in terms of running, what sort of running do you do at the moment?
Actually, I'm injured right now, so I can't really run. So I can't really do parkour as well. But before I getting injured, obviously, like I do parkour every day, and running is a big part of parkour. Like when we're doing parkour, we always run. We have to know how to run, but it is mostly like short distance running. But recently, I'm trying to get better at long distance because, like, when I was a kid, I was always, like, sprinting but never really good at long distance. So I feel like it is the time for me to get better at long distance running and just find the joy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I really like doing, like, interval training. I think it's really good for parkour as well. It's like mm-hmm. jogging and sprinting and jogging again, so...
Mm.
I find it really helpful for parkour.
Yeah, I do think about parkour. I've tried it very badly in the past. I mean, I haven't got the fearlessness that so many of you guys have. But yeah, what I learned about it was that it's about short bursts of sprinting, gaining to the position you might be jumping or spinning or whatever it might be. But it's that short run up that's so important. Now, you talk about running long distance. When did you first start getting into long distance and how and why?
I think I remember the first time I challenged myself in the long distance running. It was maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. I can't really remember. But like my boyfriend told me to go for a run and he's actually really good at running and he mostly run long distance. And he told me like, hey, are you up for going like 5 kilometer run? And I was like, I would like to, but I never tried it before. I don't know how it's going to work out. And then I decided to go with him and we start running, but obviously it was getting really tiring for me. I was getting so like angry and tired because it was getting really hard. And I was like literally crying. But I was having so much fun as well because like there were lots of emotions going on. And I think it was my first time I ran like long distance and it was so challenging, but as well as so enjoyable.
I'm not sure if I should admit this, but I'm actually really happy to hear that Hazal finds long distance running difficult.
Okay, keep talking.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, like, I'm glad that she's suffering, but like, I just mean she's a really accomplished athlete and it's just refreshing to know that she is challenged by things that I'm challenged by. Like she, you know, technically she ran the 5K in one go, like no training, but I mean, she found it really difficult. And I remember when I ran that distance for the first time, I thought my legs were like no longer connected. Like I think I left them back on the road.
Well, yeah, it's true. I feel like we're not 3 minutes into Hazal's interview and we've already have a story that sums her up pretty well. I don't know if you guys have this in America, Erin, but in England, we have something called Couch to 5K, which is about building yourself up to a 5K run if you haven't been doing much running before. But Hazal's out here just going straight from the couch to 5K in one afternoon. Done.
I know. That was crazy to hear. I mean, no wonder she cried during the middle of it. I would cry too if I was her.
Oh, okay, so go on. Tell me, have you ever had actual tears like when you've done your big runs?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I should trademark crying in a cornfield because I feel like in almost all of my videos this past summer training for Chicago Marathon, I was crying in the cornfield. And that's here I am again. It was either like I heard something sad on a podcast, or I just was like, why am I doing this? Or I was just so over it that I cried. I cry, you know, a lot. What about you?
I would say I've cried, but I've become really upset. Like, you know, when you just don't want to train, I just get really low and like really sad. But now I mean, I don't want to sort of bypass the point of me never crying, but I've just got this picture of you crying in a cornfield by yourself, which I find really sad.
Oh, yeah. I put some humorous music behind it, so the video is actually funny. But yeah, I share a lot of my crying moments because I don't want people to feel like they're the only one.
Yeah, do you know what? Respect to the criers out there.
Shout out to the criers.
Yeah, I get where Hazal is coming from on the running and crying front. So let's get back to her because we left her having just completed her first 5K with no prep whatsoever, with only one thing on her mind.
I was in so much pain. I just wanted to go home and take a bath. This is the only thing that I was thinking. But at the same time, I really enjoyed it. And I really felt that, how do you say, like challenging myself mentally and physically. So I was kind of like, I should do it more often.
I was going to say, did it make you want to do more?
Yeah. I went after 5 kilometer, I did like 6. It is the one that the most I run so far. But I think it's getting more like in a routine that I'm just going out like 30 minutes run, 40 minutes run, and it feels good.
I like it. You're building up very nicely. I'm kind of stuck on 5 kilometers at the moment because I've been injured for a while. And it's so strange when you haven't run for ages, how hard 5 kilometers actually feels. But for you, if you were going to give anybody advice in terms of trying to run those, especially longer distance runs, for some people, 3 kilometers might be a long distance run. For some people, 5 kilometers might be a distance run. What kind of advice would you give those people?
I think, as you said, like even 3 kilometers is so hard for me, still hard for me. It's like I can't just run 3 kilometers every day. And I feel like the best advice is just build up slow. And we don't really need to rush anything and just find the joy in running.
So you spoke about finding joy in your runs. How do you go around doing that?
I think just challenging myself brings me so much joy because like challenging myself and seeing the result, I can actually get better at, I don't know, doing something physical or mental, like better than I thought. Like I can do so much better than I actually imagined. So I think this is the thing that gives me so much satisfaction.
Yeah, the sense of achievement brings you joy. I love that.
Yeah, and right now I'm injured. Like I have been injured like 3 months ago and I'm still going to physio and I'm just like not ready yet to get into parkour, but I obviously can do some physical exercises. And this is like what I was thinking. I can start getting back to running slowly and I feel like,
nice.
I feel it, excited again because it's been 3 months without any sport and I think running is going to bring the joy back.
You know, although I will never agree with doing a 5K just from nothing, I can at least agree with Hazal here. Completing a challenging run, it just like really brings so much joy, enough joy in my experience that it more often than not makes the pain totally worth it. Like I remember when I first ran 3 miles, a 5K, and I was so angry that it was even on my training calendar. Like I can't run a 5K. This is insane. And it hurt the entire time. But I just kept pushing through it. I just like kept clobbing my feet forward. And I was so proud. I made it home. I collapsed in the grass. I was just like, I'm just going to lay here. I just remember feeling so proud until I got up and realized I was laying on like a petrified piece of dog poop.
A petrified piece of
it was like poop. Just, you know, it wasn't squishy poop. It was just like, you know. And,
did it have bounce back to it? It had a bit of bounce back to it.
You know, I just had to be humbled. And but I just remember that really good feeling of being super proud of myself.
Dog poop with bounce back. I love this. I love it.
But what about you? Have you ever experienced like that level of joy after a run that it made it all worth it? Minus the dog poop.
I mean, the dog poop, maybe not. But I mean, do you know what? It might sound a bit cheesy. And this is not because it's on brand or anything, but like when we did the Wings for Life World Run last year, I had the best run of my life. Like, cause I told you I was injured for so long and I've done all this training and I finally got out the door, like bolted out the door, got this catch a car thing chasing me. So the whole sensation was just insane. Right. And I'm running over like a place called Tower Bridge here, which is basically not far away from where the crown jewels are kept in London. And this like running through these incredible historical areas, which I've never actually run through before, while I'm doing the Wings for Life World Run, feeling really fit, feeling really healthy. It was just amazing. And then like when I got back to the local park and I was eventually caught by the car, I was just like, I was in such good shape and I felt so good about myself and so good about that run. I was so elated. It was amazing. And like, I genuinely felt great.
No, I love that. I mean, I had a little different. I had some trouble with my costume during my Wings for Life World Run.
I remember.
But, you know, the experience of it and knowing you're running with people all over the world and the catcher cars coming to get you. And so I mean, true. It did make a really cool experience that you can't really compare to anything else. But I just love that so much. And I'm loving this interview as well. Hazal has such a unique perspective. I'm hoping you did manage to get some of her origin story, though, so we can just figure out where it all comes from.
Come on, man. Who do you think I am? Did I get the origin story? Try not to feel insulted here. Thought you were my cheerleader.
Rah, rah, go IO.
When did you first get into parkour? Why? How?
I remember, like, the first time when I get into parkour, I was like, doing breakdancing. I used to do breakdancing.
Oh, you were a breaker. I love that. I love that.
And like I was training in the gym and then I've seen a couple people started doing parkour, doing like front flips, dive kongs and stuff. And I was like, oh, it looks cool. I would like to try this one too. And they were really welcoming and they helped me a lot and they showed me some basics. And since then, almost every day.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like there's some sort of synergy with the discipline you need to be a breaker, as well as the discipline you need to do parkour. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to do very strange things with your body. And actually, you have to just keep practicing and practicing and practicing, but also be fearless to nail the special moves, right?
I feel the fear all the time. Like fear, I think fear for me is always there. But I think with parkour, I just learned how to control it and how to control my fear and still go for it while having the fear. I think that was the key point for me with parkour.
Yeah. Do you think you have a good relationship with fear then? Because I think for a lot of people, they see fear and they think, I'm just going to stay in my comfort zone. Do you think from a very early age, your relationship with fear has been, why not?
I think like the relationship with my fear has like, something that I learned while I was doing parkour. Like I think like first time when I started parkour, I didn't know how to control my fear and I like obviously I couldn't really push myself. But the more I train, the more I also learn how to control my fear. I think for me it is the most challenging but also interesting part with parkour. Like obviously you are scared to do something, like you don't want to do it, like your brain telling this so dangerous, like I shouldn't be doing this, but then just trying to understand what your mind saying to you, and then you need to control it, because like, you know, this is yours, your mind is yours, you need to be able to control it. And I think I learned it slowly with the experience, with more training.
Whenever I see a lot of people doing parkour on the streets of London, I'll be honest, like I don't see many women doing it as such. And this is why I'm so interested in what you've achieved and how you've achieved it. Does that make it more challenging for you, or is that part of the journey for you?
So I said, like, I came from breakdancing and it was also really male dominated sport. And I did it like, I don't know, 6-7 years. And I didn't have any girlfriend. So I was always like growing up with boys anyways. And like I was lucky because everybody was so kind to me. And like within breaking also like parkour. And I don't think it's really challenging for me because I got used to it. But I feel like sometimes kind of missing girlfriend. Like I would like to do a parkour with the girlfriend, because I think it's totally different vibe. Because sometimes like when you're in a really male dominated sport, I sometimes can't find a place for myself because they are so like into it too much. They are going for it, and I sometimes want to be a bit more relaxed. So energy doesn't really match too much. But recently, actually, in parkour, there are like more females coming up, and which is so cool to see because like they are killing it.
Come on, yes, and you're one of them. You're spearheading that. I was reading something, and please tell me if this is wrong, about you like racing like the young boys in the playground and beating them when you were a child. Is this true?
Yeah, it is true. It is true. Like, I remember when I was in a primary school, I think maybe I was 7 or 8, and I was always doing sprint race with the boys, and I was always beating them, so it felt amazing.
I think that's part of your drive. I love that. And I think also it's probably why you feel so comfortable in that environment, because, you know, this may be something in the back of your mind that goes, yeah, I could probably do it better, actually.
Yeah, maybe, actually. And I still really love doing sprint race with my mates. Well, actually, these days they are doing better, but I still enjoy a lot to challenge them, you know.
Let's talk about sweat. Great for cooling me down on a long run, terrible for earphones. If it's not helping them slip out of my ears, it's pooling around the earphones and clogging them up completely. But with Philips' new open ear headphones with bone conduction technology, I don't have that problem. As the name suggests, they sit on the bone outside my ear, meaning sweat has nowhere to pool and my headphones stay dry and in place. Earphones 1, sweat 0. Pick up your pair at philips.com. Let's get back to running. How do you think that running and parkour complement each other?
Obviously, parkour is like also called free running. So I think every parkour athlete knows how to run to be able to get the right power, to be able to control your running, like jumping. I think everything is just comes from running.
So interesting you talk about running properly as a parkourer. What does that actually mean? How do you run properly as someone who does parkour?
Like when I started parkour, I used to run like with my heels mostly, like my heels were touching first and then going through my toes, but I was not able to get enough power. And after I started parkour, like I get into training and I found out actually I shouldn't be running on my heels. I should be more like using my toes to be able to get the power and to be able to jump further.
Yeah, I guess it's quite innate. It makes us probably remember that we're actually animals as well, you know, like something quite primal about parkour, something quite primal about running. It's the movement.
Yeah, it is the movement, literally.
You think about the way cats or gazelles or whatever push off and leap. And actually, that's probably weight transferring that we probably haven't really thought about or realized. And actually, maybe you were jumping too much like a human and actually you need to think more like an animal.
That's so true. But like with parkour, also we have so much movement that we got from the animals. For example, we have a movement like a jump called arm jump. And like it's in the UK, they call arm jump, but in the world generally we call cat leap. So it's coming from cat. And we have like a Kong, which is some people call it King Kong. It's a really old school saying, but yeah, a lot of movement comes from animals. And I think it's amazing because they are like animals are amazing skill athletes, maybe I can say.
Yeah, that's a very good thing to say for sure. But they just do it naturally. We have to practice.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. Now, we've spoken a lot about running on this podcast. I mean, it is called Why I Run, after all. But we've never got into the nitty-gritty of actually how to run before. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, look, me too. And that's why I just love talking to Hazal. Like, she's all about the challenge, but she doesn't do it blindly. She always takes a step back to think about what she's doing and why. Like, with the fear, with the running in itself, it's also technical for her.
Yeah, I just love how the two disciplines clearly complement each other so well. I mean, parkour has taught her how to run properly, and running keeps her fit and energized in her time away from parkour.
So now you know the benefits. Will we be seeing you in a parkour gym anytime soon, Erin?
You know, just to humor myself, I actually Googled parkour gyms nearby.
You didn't. No,
I
you
did.
Didn't.
And there is one 20 minutes from here. It's almost like the universe is telling me it's meant to be. You have to go.
Go parkour, babe. Go parkour, baby. Let's do this.
I could be the next parkour superstar.
All right, fair enough. While you're at the parkour gym, Erin, I thought I'd ask Hazal what advice she had for regular runners like me. As I said earlier, 5 kilometres, even 3 kilometres for a lot of people is a long run. How do you keep motivated through that? Are you a music person? Do you just go into your thoughts? How does it work for you?
I think it depends. I sometimes try to listen music, also like podcasts, really helping me a lot. Just like thinking about my thoughts and just thinking about the future plans most of the time. And sometimes I forget how the time passed and suddenly I feel like, oh, it's already been 20 minutes. Great. Now I can go home.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So do you think that's maybe a little, like a bit of advice for people who might find running as a hobby is to actually probably try and take your mind away from the running and just perhaps think of other things, or perhaps a podcast, or maybe something to distract you is probably a really good idea.
Yeah, totally. I think like running is really helping you to clear your mind. We don't really get to be too present in the daily life. It's just so stressful sometimes, and like everything, like a lot of things going on, and running is just really relaxing.
Yeah, you know, I it's interesting when you come back into running and you're, or you haven't done much running, and you talk about being in the present or in the moment, because your body is exhausted, you can't sometimes think of anything else but where you are right then. You know, you're just either on the floor or you're sitting down just thinking about what you've just done, or your head is pounding, so you're actually forced to be in that moment at that time.
Yeah totally. So when I start feeling like getting tired, I'm just telling myself keep going, and I really like the idea of I'm tired, I just want to stop, but I can keep going. It's amazing.
Okay, you sound like the kind of person that could need a running team. Look, I'm just going to be straight with you.
Yeah.
We've been doing this podcast for a series now, and at the end of each episode, we try to recruit some new runners for the Wings for Life World Run, which is actually going to be in May. Now, I know it's a new hobby for you. I know you haven't gone crazy far, like a half marathon yet, but any run will do. So I'm going to ask you very straight. You can even do it with your boyfriend if you want. Would you like to join our team for the Wings for Life World Run in May?
Oh, okay. I am so down. Yes, let's do this.
Woo! Yes, one more person for the team. I'm so proud of you, Ayo.
Thank you. I'm so happy. What an asset she's going to be for our team, along with the guys at home as well.
Yes, actually, good point. If you would like to join our team, don't forget to sign up for the Wings for Life World Run race happening on the 7th of May. It's honestly such a fun race that you can do virtually or in person, and it's for a great cause too.
Yeah, Wings for Life are at the forefront of spinal cord injury research, and all sign-up fees go straight to their amazing work. If you haven't joined up yet, you can find our podcast team page at www.wingsforlifeworldrun.com/YIRUNTEAM. But don't worry, the link's in the episode description, so you don't have to remember it.
And if you can't join us on race day but want to reach out, you can find us on social media at WFL World Run. You know what, Ayo? I'm honestly feeling so pumped by today's episode. I actually can't wait to get out and run.
Yeah, and when you do, maybe take Hazal's advice and stick a podcast in. Speaking of which, big congrats to anyone who's been running whilst listening. You have mine, Erin's, and Hazal's seal of approval.
Oh, for sure. So that's it from us, from the Why I Run podcast from Red Bull. But tune in next week for a real heartwarmer of a show when I'll be talking to the wonderful Jarek Ewan. He's one of a growing number of runners making pictures out of their running routes on their running app. Maybe you've seen it on social media, maybe you haven't. Regardless, tune in next week to get the full lowdown.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss that one, I promise you. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.